You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning! It's the most wonderful time of the year. Happy holidays, everybody. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy Game Day. That's right, it's Saturday, but the Game Day Fantasy Man Band is still here regardless for you and your football needs. It's the 12 games of Christmas, everybody. We've got 12 NFL games today, 3 tomorrow, 1 on Monday night, and that will decide not only how your holidays are going to go, but it will decide most season-long championships in terms of fantasy football. And of course, we've got daily fantasy to cover. I'm Joe Pizzapia, your host for the next 3 hours, and we've got a very special holiday edition. You can call it the family edition of the program today. Let me first bring in our regular co-host, the one, the only, the king, Scott Engel. Good morning, King. How are you?
Good morning, and just woke up to the fact that AJ Green might not play today for everybody who's just tuning in. Very interesting, because I remember when Dr. A from Inside Injuries came on this week, he was talking about the fact that even though he was expected to play, he was not quite in his optimal recovery period. So I think people are just waking up to this news, fellas.
And that's why we have Dr. A. And Dr. A knows what he's talking about. He's a fantastic guest. Sometimes those injury folks, sometimes I can give or take them, but not Dr. A. That guy, he really actually gets you the information in a way that
you can process
the game.
Well, he's actually played fantasy in the past, so he's
well, that also helps. Well, some pretend to play fantasy too, Scott. Some of them out there, the injury folks, pretend to play a little fantasy. But let me tell you, that's big news, obviously, for the Bengals. Not that they're going to be a great matchup anyway today in Houston. But how are you doing? You ready for your holiday week here?
Yeah, you know, we celebrate both Christmas and Hanukkah, so I'll be lighting the candles tonight. Plus, waiting to see what kind of Seattle Seahawks gifts maybe I receive for Christmas, or the Mets, or maybe even the Knicks, or some Kiss stuff. You know, it's... And I already did my shopping for my wife. I know she's not listening, so I'll add to her Hello Kitty collection. And I got her. She's been wanting a new Yankees hat for a long time, so took care of that.
Are you married to a Yankees fan?
Yeah, we have a mixed marriage. You know, I'm a Mets fan.
Well, clearly, you got Christmas, you got Hanukkah, you got Mets, you got Yankees. I mean, geez, you cover everything.
It's like she's still mad at me that I've made my son a Mets fan back in 2000. When they were in the Subway Series, we took my son to Yankee Stadium and to Shea Stadium, and he made his decision he was the Mets, and my wife still says brainwashed to this day.
Well, you know, look, I'm a Mets fan too, so that's the lot we have in life sometimes. And of course, as always, the one, the only, the Scrooge of the network, Tony Cincotta joins us. Tony, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. You got big plans for today? You a Christmas Eve guy, a Christmas Day guy? Which one are you?
I'm a football guy.
See what I mean? Bah humbug. Bah humbug from the Tony Cincotta. But that's why we love you, Tony. Now,
But Tony, what about from 11 p.m. tonight till about, I should say, noon tomorrow? You know, that's when, like, the Knicks and the Celtics square off.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to celebrate during that period?
No, I got to get on my sleigh.
You're going to get slayed?
Sleigh is out
this week,
by the way.
Yeah, I got to get on my sleigh, and I got to, take care of the boys and girls across the country.
You should go get slayed.
Now, look, here at the network, we have some special guests on the show today, because here at the network, we follow through on promises. I mean, heck, last year before there was a radio network, Mike Cardano said to me that when the radio network happens, we'll get in touch with you. And here I am hosting Game Day with you guys, and couldn't be happier. And there was a promise also made to the young men, I call them men because they're champions apparently, who are actually the winners of the Expert League. Mike Cardano Jr. and his friend Luke Benino actually won the Expert League, I believe. This is the information I've been given. And part of the deal was if they did well in the Expert League, they could come and be part of this program. And they are here with us this morning because...
Actually, Joe,
if they
made the playoffs...
Oh, they made the playoffs.
Made
Did
the
either
playoffs.
Of them win the championship?
No, the championship is this week. You know, fantasy football championships.
So they made
are
the playoffs
week 16,
against
Joe.
Okay. Well, no, I didn't know. Some leagues run differently. I didn't know what this one was. I'm well aware.
I'm pulling a Sussman. I'm correcting you.
I understand. I appreciate that. Yeah. And by the way, on that note, congratulations to Tony Cincotta, who beat me to go ahead and face our other cohort, George Kurtz, in the SiriusXM Host League final. A lot of fantasy people in the playoff there, Scott. A lot of Fantasy Network folks there. But I digress. So they made the playoffs, and are either of them in the championship game, Scott? Or they just made the playoffs and they got ousted?
No, they made the playoffs, but against the likes of us, you know, that's certainly not easy.
Well, but yeah, that is true. So let me bring them in right now this morning. Let's first start with Mr. Junior over there, Mark Cardano Jr. Mike, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, come on. You got to bring a lot of energy, Mike. It's early in the morning.
Pretend it's 2015 with the Carolina Panthers.
Now, look, I know you're a young college guy, and I know you're probably out having a good time last night because that's what you should do. But I'm going to try this one more time for everybody listen. How are you this morning, Mike?
I'm great. I'm psyched to be here.
There you go. That's much better. That's much better. There we go. All right. So Mike, first off, how did you convince your father to get you into this league? That's what I want to know.
He actually brought it up to me. He brought upon the challenge of, because I'm always talking, I believe I'm better than him and most of his coworkers. And
nice.
I mean, me and my friend Luke, we proved him wrong especially, but a lot of the people here at Fantasy Sports Network, we did prove wrong in making the playoffs. So.
And who did you lose to in the playoffs, just so I know?
Let's give them a name. Chris Meany.
Chris Meany, host Meany. Of Fantasy Sports Today. Meany's a tough out. So you did lose to a Canadian, so I'm a little disappointed on that end of it. But outside of that, that's pretty good. Who is the core of your team? Give me the big three guys. Who'd you have?
I got Odell. My receivers are pretty good. I had Odell, and then I had Jordy and Davante Adams.
Oh, there you go. The little Packer boys. The little Packer stack got you through. And let's bring in your friend Luke Bonino. Luke, how are you this morning, my friend? Happy holidays to you.
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on.
There you go. Absolutely, man. We're happy. It's the family edition of Fantasy Game Day. That's what happens over the holidays. You have family come over. We sit around. We have cocktails. We open presents. Spoiler, I didn't get you anything. But look, so tell me, Luke, now, did you get into this from Mike, or you and Mike made this approach to Mike Sr. and said, hey, come on, we could do this.
Yeah,
what? How'd
Mike
that work
and I
out?
have been on his dad for a while. We've really been trying to convince him for a couple of years to get in on something like this. We wanted to prove ourselves. We knew that we could compete with the big guns, but we just needed a stage to prove it on. And although it is true we did not make it to the finals. There's no doubt about it that we competed with the best of them, and each of us made the playoffs and with room to spare. So I thought we did a good job.
Luke, there's a lot of great fantasy players out there that don't necessarily get on air or write stuff. They're just great fantasy players. My boy Yancey Eaton's one of them. Brian Ambos is another one. Just, you know, the guys who are just hardcore fantasy players. Matt Modica is another one. They're great at what they do, but yet, you know, they don't always necessarily get out there and, you know, put their stuff out there. But for you guys, I like the young pride. I like the arrogance. I like the toughness. I like, you know, walking the walk. I'm pleased. These are the kind of guys, like, my kind of guys, all right? Now, here's a question. Who'd you lose to in the playoffs? Come on.
It was actually a cruel twist of fate, I'm not going to lie.
Here comes the sob story, Tony. Tony, here it comes. You hear it? There it is. This is right up. This is like straight out of the loser's lounge. Go ahead. What is it, Luke? Go ahead.
Mike and I actually ended up playing each other in the first round of the playoffs, and it was a tight matchup, but
God.
He did knock me out in the first round of the playoffs, but I was pulling for him after that, so it was tough for Joe to have to take out another Joe, but that's how it goes. That's fantasy football for you.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, look, I mean, in that sense, you got to... You know, were you still friends after that?
Oh, yeah, we're all right.
Were you friends that day?
yeah, I would say so.
Oh, yeah. What do you think, Scott? You think that was true? I don't know. That was a little
I believe him. Mike's going to come on his radio for the first time and lie now.
Should I end? Why? Should I end, Scott? Should I end all this, you know, praise and heap right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's what you do, Tony. It's what you do. These guys are new, they're younger. Don't tear them up like you do everybody else.
Yeah, little Mike. Now, the bottom line is your dad is our boss in a lot of ways, so we had to, you know, grease it so you guys could get in the playoffs.
No,
and the next 3 hours, we'll see what you're made of. See if you would just, you know, you'll see if it's actually here, Mike. So step up to the microphone. Make sure you tell everybody what's going on, and then we'll judge 3 hours from now. I actually, I think I was interviewed for this league, Scott, and I basically said I'm in a league with my boss, a Hall of Famer, and 2 kids. Why would I want to win? I like my job.
So what you're saying is you threw it just to continue working. That's what you did.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that the right move?
Yeah.
I think he's being a team player there. Yeah. There you go. So see, and just so you know, boys, this is, you asked for this. You asked for this abuse for the next 3 hours. So I just want you to know, be careful what you wish for, because sometimes that might come true. All right, let's get to some of the news and updates right away. We talked about A.J. Green. Scott mentioned at the top of the program, unlikely to play today now. We'll give you official word as things come down. Information trickles in. Adrian Peterson is out, done for the rest of the year after coming in last week. Scott, let's start with you on this one. Did Adrian Peterson basically just destroy his fantasy value forever now after this little one game back too early thing?
Pretty much. I was thinking this morning that in a charity league in the summer, he was actually my second round pick. I was so excited. I got Ezekiel Elliott in the first and Adrian Peterson in the second.
Yeah, on paper, that sounded good.
It sounded good. Everybody's like raving about my drafting because they're like, you know, picks like that, I didn't even make the playoffs. You know, it's yeah, Peterson, you know, we've seen the injuries the last 2 seasons now. He's officially up there in age. I don't even know if he's going to be playing for the Vikings next season.
Most likely
I
not.
I think he's going to get the Arian Foster treatment next year.
And now if he does end up somewhere else, Tony, let's say he ends up actually on a better offense, does that restore your faith in Adrian Peterson next year as a potential bargain in the draft?
No, he's one of the guys, though, that has defied logic with coming back from some of these injuries. But he's still a 30-plus-year-old running back coming back after the injuries with a whole bunch of carries. You would think, it happens to everyone, that Father Time got him.
Yeah. Now, how about you, Mike Jr.? This is one of the older guys in fantasy. Let's start with you here. You optimistic at all? You think maybe there's opportunity with Peterson, or are you more of the lines of, look, this is an aging running back, I'm kind of out and done with him. You know, I've had it one too many times.
Yeah, personally, I think it's an out and done with him. Next year, I don't think I'll be drafting him. I think they should just stick with McKinnon and Asiata, what they have as of now.
Well, let's hope they don't stick with that, because that might be worse than that. I'd rather have Adrian Peterson on one leg than Jerick McKinnon. I can tell you that right now. All right, let's continue on.
Hey,
Julio
McKinnon,
Jones
McKinnon
is back.
Caught what? He caught 9 passes last week.
Great. Let's throw a parade.
What if they're playing from behind again this week?
What? What if? What if? Yeah. If? Is there an if there? I don't know about if.
You never know with a divisional game.
Of course
game.
They're playing. Yeah, I know. You know what? Normally I would agree with you, except that offense is horrendous.
The only divisional game that I'm taking the script out where like anything can happen in a divisional game is the Jets and the Patriots. The Jets gave up officially like 2 weeks ago.
Well, yeah, their coaches had a heart attack because of this whole team.
We should laugh about that. That's not funny. Yeah. But Tony has a way with words. Julio Jones, I got to ask Young Mike a question because
his father is a Jet fan. No matter what other 6 teams he roots for, none of which are going to make the playoffs. So it doesn't matter. When did you become a Panthers fan? And at any point, were you a Jets fan because of your dad?
You want to tell the story of how I became a Panthers fan?
Yes, it'd be interesting.
Yes, but do it in 1 minute.
All right, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So they played when I was, I don't exactly remember what age I was, they played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And I noticed my dad was always rooting against the Patriots. Oh, I hate Tom Brady. I hate Belichick, whatever. So I looked at the bottom scoreboard in Carolina.
Oh, that was when Jake Delhom was on the Panthers. Yep. Yeah,
right, Steve Smith. And
Mushi Muhammad.
And so Carolina in the bottom, it said C-A-R, and that's the first 3 letters of my last name, and I thought that was like the coolest thing ever. So I was like, all right, I'm going to stick with this team. And then
that's pretty good.
Yeah, and it also helped that my dad was always rooting against the Patriots, but that hasn't stayed true
until
these past few years.
Until Super
right,
Bowl.
He was rooting for the Patriots when they played the Seahawks, because he didn't want the Seahawks win because of you.
Yeah, what kind of Jet fan is that?
Not a truthful one.
I think that's a Jet fan that despises you more than the Patriots, more than Tom Brady. I think that's it.
Young Mike knows here it's all for show.
Now, Mike, you were so close. You should have just became a Patriots fan like me, and then life would have been much easier for you. Luke, how about you? Where's your line allegiance lie?
I'm a New York Giants fan, so...
So you're in mourning after, yeah, after Thursday, then?
Yeah, I am. That was a very difficult game to watch. We haven't been into playoffs in 4 years, to let it slip through our fingers like that, especially against the Eagles, was extremely painful. But when we make the playoffs, we usually make some noise, so I can't really complain. I've won 2 Super Bowls in my lifetime, so it's been pretty good.
See that? That is perspective. See that, young man? That is very, very bright of you. And there's a lot of spoiled fans out there that, you know, you realize you've gotten more Super Bowl wins than many other people have ever seen in their lifetime. And that is very good perspective. I like that. I like that very much. Now, I got a question for you. Watching this team, you think the Giants are a little soft in terms of, is there a softer 10-5 team out there? Because matchup-wise, they haven't played the great, you know, against some of the better teams in the NFL, they've struggled. And, you know, I know the defense is very good, but the offense has been incredibly inconsistent all year. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I've seen a lot of comparisons made to the teams of the past, but I don't really see it. Just because people make the general comparison of, like, oh, it's the good defense. But this team is very reliant on the secondary as opposed to the teams of the past that were always about the pass rush. So it's a little different in that sense. And also, I just don't see, like, the mental toughness there. They've won, the 2 best wins are against the Cowboys, and I actually do think they match up very well with the Cowboys. If I were Dallas, I wouldn't want to face the Giants in the playoffs. But other than that, I don't really see us playing that tough with a lot of top competition other than Dallas, to be honest.
All right, 2 things here. Number one, you said the Giants have struggled against top competition. They beat Dallas twice, Joe.
They beat Dallas twice. I'm taking Dallas out.
And also, to have a winning record.
Well, because the same as you.
To have a winning record, you beat who you're supposed to beat.
That's fair. That's fair.
But here's something. Luke has already stepped up on Twitter answering questions from our users. Mike R. asked, need one in PPR, Alshon, Landry, Meredith, or Allen Robinson. He said, I like Allen Robinson. 15 targets last game versus Tennessee. Luke?
I'm projecting on him
your,
for at
on
least
your first
seven
answer,
today.
I strongly disagree with you.
That's a fair
because Allen Robinson has been nothing since then.
He will have at least 7 catches today.
Probably for 15 yards. You know the way that he's been going lately. I would probably go with Cameron Meredith, who's got a great matchup in the slot against the Packers today, Joe.
I like Meredith as well, but I'm curious to hear Tony's take on Bortles this week because he's min salary. And we all know that fantasy points he's put up despite the turnovers sometimes. Tony, is this a week where Blake Bortles is possibly useful daily fantasy-wise because of that salary as a complete fade from the top of the Drew Brees and the very top of these quarterbacks that are going to be so heavily owned?
I think it's reasonable, but I'm not going out of my way because you got a couple guys around that salary. Like Barkley is going to be have an opportunity, right, too, I guess, that Washington secondary. Blake Bortles... he threw up only 92 yards in the last game, but that Tennessee Titans.
But the Titans give up a second of yards. Yeah, that's why I'm looking at
there.
It.
Yeah, and you can look at both receivers, I think, at Jacksonville, Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson in this one. I think it's a tight call. I think the safer play would be Cameron Meredith, but when we're talking about that whole group, I don't think the safe play, and it's amazing if you think about it where we are in week 16. If you said week 1, Cam Meredith over Alshon Jeffrey, but that's where we are.
The one thing I will say is that the way that he played recently with a fantasy Super Bowl with everything on the line, I don't want to put Allen Robinson in my lineup.
Oh, and I can understand that. I can understand. I'm looking at the daily side. I'm looking at Bortles having that opportunity this week where, you know, you go back and you look at the game log and there's a lot of 15 and 18 performances despite the massive amount of turnovers. And with Tennessee in that matchup there,
but
I think there's opportunity more than ever. And I've not supported Bortles all year. This is the one time where I go and I look at it. And I think there's a lot of guys like that this week. Gurley, which we're going to talk about.
Oh, I was just going to say, Scott, you put Todd Gurley in, but you wouldn't put Allen Robinson.
In a flex, Gurley has, like, the ultimate matchup this week. There are 3 items that have killed Gurley this year. Lack of support from the offense, game flow, weak supporting cast. None of it matters this week. Allen Robinson has barely cracked 100 yards in his last 5 games total.
I think that Lee is the one that I want of the two of them if I'm going to pair up or anything like that. But, look, at this point, you're trying for championships. You can't leave everything to chance. So, look, we are going to hit a break here. When we come back, we are going to talk about Julio Jones' return, that impact, plus some more injury news, who's in, who's out. We've got a full house here, but that's what Christmas and the holidays is all about, right, everybody? So you're listening to Fantasy Football Game Day right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back, everyone, to Fantasy Football Game Day right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe, Scott, Tony, and Mikey Jr. and Luke join us over here. The Joes versus the Pros who made the playoffs and are now part of this show because, well, they won the wager. So here they are today. And again, boys, careful what you wish for because, but look, this is part of it, right? Part of being in this crew is you got to be able to give and take. And I think you're doing very well so far. So kudos to you boys over there. And let's continue on with some good news for a change, right? Julio Jones is back. That is a huge present for fantasy owners. We love Julio Jones. This is a top five overall pick in pretty much every league. And now he's finally back in this one with a great matchup against Carolina. The last time he faced Carolina, he had 12 catches on 15 targets for 300 yards and a touchdown. Now, we can't expect that. Not expecting 40-point outputs again. But, Tony, let's start with you. What's your take on Julio Jones in this first game back after missing a few with that turf toe?
He got the rest. That was the only way to cure this injury. I think he was ready to go last week, but they did the smart job, and they held him in it. Now they're going to see what he's made of. They're going to see what's left of Julio Jones, and I think he plays the whole game, and I think that he's the number two wide receiver this week in fantasy football. I guess a Carolina secondary that had been leaking. They played pretty well last week, but I love Julio Jones. They actually put him in a daily fantasy lineup.
You know, let's ask Mike, because he's the Carolina guy. Mike, what do you take out of this Carolina Panthers season so far? I mean, you know, obviously a huge disappointment coming off that Super Bowl loss. But, you know, struggling early, and then last, you know, week or so, you saw some, you know, some little glimpses here and there of what made this team so good last year. You saw a little bit more Jonathan Stewart, too, recently. Tell me two things. First of all, why do you think the Panthers have really fell apart this year? And number two, what do you think has really been the key for them in the last couple of weeks, kind of playing a little bit better football?
Well, first off, they're obviously missing Josh Norman. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He was the heart and soul of that secondary. He brought the fire, the trash talk to the team, and now they're relying on James Bradbury as their number one corner, so that's not good. But in recent weeks, they've just been playing as a team. And also, they've lost Kuechly for the last few weeks because of that concussion,
right.
So that's torn apart. They still have Thomas Davis in there, but, I mean, he's the anchor in that linebacking core and that defense overall. So that secondary has been playing relatively decent as of late, but, I mean, they're still missing Josh Norman.
Now, Scott, we got a couple other guys out this week. Melvin Gordon out again. Do you think that Farrell has a bigger role this week than last week? A lot of disappointed fantasy owners last week who thought that Farrell would have himself a little bit more of a return based on the fact that the matchup was against the Raiders. What do you think this week against the Browns? What are your thoughts on Farrow taking over for Gordon again 2 weeks in a row?
Real quick on Julio, you know, talking to Dr. A about him this week. That's a very difficult pain management injury. I'm not as confident on Julio as maybe Tony is. I think I play him in a seasonal, but I'm avoiding him in a DFS. As far as Farrow goes, the matchup is spectacular. Cleveland's got the worst run defense outside of San Francisco, who's absolutely disgusting. The matchup looks good on paper, but what has Farrow shown us to take advantage of the matchup? That's scary for me, especially in a fantasy Super Bowl week. The guy averaged like barely over 2.5 yards a carry and fumbled twice, losing one of them. Ronnie Hillman ran better than he did. If I got everything on the line, it's a good matchup, but can the guy take advantage of the matchup? I'm not that confident. I got a column in the New York Daily News today. I say sit Kenneth Farrell. Yeah, the matchup looks good, but it's not always about the matchup. Can the player take advantage of the matchup? Can Kenneth Farrell take advantage of something at the NFL level? Undrafted rookie free agent who didn't look good last week against Oakland, who's tightened up against a run recently, but still was a pretty good matchup. I can't do it.
I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with you over on Julio Jones from the daily side, just to put the button on that one. He's 85 on FanDuel, he's 81 on DK, and I'm telling you, I think a lot of people will be afraid of him because of first game back and the toe and how much will he be able to give. To me, this is Matt Ryan's I'm MVP game. This is his statement to go out there and put up a big day, and I think he's going to, and I think Julio's going to be a big part of that. I think, you know, as Mike pointed out, you know, no Josh Norman over there. That secondary is not nearly what it was last year. And to me, I think Julio gives you a great ceiling potentially. And I think he's more of a GPP play than a cash game play personally. Because of that, I can understand the people being a little afraid. Oh, what if he doesn't go off? But if he does, you know, there's only a couple guys in the NFL, the David Johnsons, the Bells, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, that can really make that huge, you know, 30, 40 point kind of a swell. And he's one of those guys. And to me, that makes him a huge GP, especially when Drew Brees is in the dome today. So you gotta keep that in mind also. I want to get Luke's take on this. Luke, can you give us a little bit of your take on Farrow? I mean, this was a guy on the waiver wire. You saw him have a, you know, take over for Gordon when he got hurt there. Do you think that Farrow is a guy for you that you would feel comfortable playing in a championship week?
That's tough. I mean, that really depends on your running back options. I mean, in terms of game flow, I mean, you got to think that San Diego is not going to have a problem dispatching of Cleveland. But I kind of agree with Scott here. I just haven't really seen much from him. I watched some of his carries last week. I was not really impressed. I mean, obviously that's a better defense, and he still had 15 carries, and he didn't even hit the 40-yard mark. So if you have better options at the running back position, I wouldn't be jumping to play Farrow, but it also wouldn't be I don't think it's the worst option in the world.
All right, now, if you've got questions for us, the phone lines are open. The number is 844-843-6879. Again, that number, 844-84-FNTSY. Let's hit the phones right now. We got Irv in Jersey on the line. Irv, happy holidays. What's up, big Irv?
Mawa! Happy holidays, Scotty, Joey, Tony. How are you, boys? And Mike, how's everyone doing?
We're doing good, baby. The Fantasy Man Band just got two new members. They're probably a little better looking than us. They're like the younger, cute ones.
Yes.
We're like the old, saucy ones. But still, you know, we'll take what we can get.
Well, I'm glad the band's back together again.
Yeah, it's
then.
Like, it's like Van Halen when they got Wolfgang in there.
So, I need your help, guys. I don't want to tinker with my lineup too much. Right now, I got Ty Montgomery at wide receiver 3. Would you move him to a running back and sit either Spencer Ware and Jeremy Hill, and then have to insert Moncrief at the wide receiver spot, or would you kind of just stay pat, roll out Evans, Julio, Montgomery, and then Ware and Hill at the running backs?
What's the format there, Irv? Is it PPR?
It's standard, not non-PPR.
That changes for me. I think I would stand pat with the standard. Moncrief is very tempting. I don't know. Tony, what do you think?
I would use Spencer Ware and stick with what you got. I mean, the one thing is Kansas City is very conservative, and the Denver Broncos are very good against the pass. So if they get even more conservative in this game, I think Spencer Ware has a ton of opportunity. He's been underachieving, but I think he can get somewhere. He can get 13, 14 points from him today.
What are your other options besides Ware that you can use in that position? Is just Moncrief?
Well, no, he's basically got Ware and Hill in the two running back spots.
Yeah.
So he can slide Ty Montgomery in and then put Moncrief in play. So basically, the question is, if you think about it, it's Moncrief or Hill or Ware, you know. And I think I agree with Tony. Ware, you got to leave in there against the Broncos.
I disagree with you guys. I think Spencer Ware's been way overrated over the past 8 weeks. He's only scored once in his last 7 games, and he hasn't reached 100 yards since week 6. I'm very scared to use Spencer Ware against anybody right now.
So who are you going to use, Scott?
He's running with no authority and no burst. At the same time, Moncrief scares me with that hamstring problem. You know, we're talking to Dr. A, and he's not his optimal recovery time. I wish I had another option, but I'm too scared to use Moncrief. I am begrudgingly saying Ware.
So you came back to us anyway.
We talked yourself into the question.
So after all that, first he hammered us for our answer, Tony.
I know.
And then he turned around and convinced
himself
that we were right.
Well, I'm giving more analysis because
two young men. This is a guy that likes to hear himself talk that we're working
yeah,
with.
Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. Like Tony does, and he talks for an hour every morning. You know, it's just
I know what a commercial break is, and I don't keep talking.
How about you, Mike? You like Ware again in the standard over Moncrief?
As much as you guys don't want to hear it, I agree with Scott. Yeah, I don't.
Wait, no. You agree with us. You're not agreeing with Scott.
See, you got lost in all the verbiage.
That's what happens. That's how we end up with all. That's how we end up writing in the Daily News.
You better get it right, Mike, because like Tony will rip your heart out.
How about you there, Luke? What do you say? We're gonna go five for five here.
I actually do like Ware, also because TJ Ward's out. I just think if you're going to beat that Broncos defense, you're going to have to run the ball, so I kind of think that's the route that they're going to go. I'm not a huge Hill guy, but I'm also not a Moncrief guy, and if it's standard, I would probably just stand pat with that lineup.
I am the least Hill guy out there, so for me this is really hard not to say Moncrief, but I think if this was PPR, it's a no-brainer. If it was half, I'd still go Moncrief. In just the standard league, Irv, I think you got to stick with the running backs and just hope you get enough volume and touches out of all of them to make do. So good luck. This is for a championship. Yes, Irv? Yes?
Week 16 yes, championship? Yes, gentlemen, it is. So it
go
is.
Out
so
there.
Hopefully I'll be calling you back next week and saying thank you, RotoX. Thanks for helping me bring it home.
There you go. That's what we want, Irv.
By the
hey,
way,
look,
Joe, just
the
reason why
yes.
I went on and on about that, for the other listeners that are listening to this show, I had a vehement debate with Cha-Cha yesterday about Spencer Ware. And it's kind of like the Kenneth Farrow thing where I go like, you know, it's a good matchup, but can the player take advantage of the matchup right now?
I don't love Ware either.
The Daily News today.
I don't love Ware either, and I would sit him normally. But I think when you come to the – I'm actually going to throw one of your classic philosophies back at you, which is, you know, when in doubt, go with the format and go with the guy who has the best opportunity to score. And although Moncrief is a touchdown machine – like you said, that injury is questionable. He's not 100% healthy. You know Ware's going to get a certain amount of volume. You know that Hill's going to get a certain amount of volume in that game, you hope. Look, I if it was anything but a standard, I think Moncrief, I would take that chance, but I don't think I'm ready to do that. All right, we're going to hit a break. We come back. We're going to ask some of the open topic discussions that we've got, some things going on, including is this the week that DeAndre Hopkins and Todd Gurley finally deliver? Do they show up in championship week? We will tell you right here. You're listening to Roto Experts Fantasy Football Game Day right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Yeah, in honor of Jake Sea, a little 8-bit Christmas music, a little On Target style. That's how we roll this morning. Welcome back, everyone, to Game Day. Just to put that Moncrief Ware discussion to bed a little bit. You know, in the Standard League, looking at Moncrief's last five outings, I know he's got the touchdown in all of them, and I get that, but in the Standard League, you're looking at somewhere around 45, 50 yards receiving in the touchdown. It's going to give you 11 points, roughly, give or take, right? Over on Ware's side, he hasn't been getting in the end zone. We know that that's been a problem, but between the receiving yards and the rushing yards, he's averaging about the same. So you're actually looking in that format, there's actually a little bit more upside to Spencer Ware should he add a touchdown to that 70 yards rushing and 30 yards receiving that he's already got. There's a better chance for him to go to 16, in my opinion, and a better floor for Spencer Ware in that particular format. I think that's what we're, you know, to put that one to bed. Let's move and transition right now over to some of these questions. Now, look, Savage took over as quarterback, right? Everybody, you know, every DeAndre Hopkins owner has just, you know, been screaming and cursing at the television all year long. 17 targets last week, Tony Cincata. 17. That's a whole lot. And Tom Savage is on record as saying, I'm going to grip it and rip it this week. Do you think this is the week to be in on DeAndre Hopkins? Look, let's start with the season-long and then the daily. Give me the season-long. Is he in your lineup in a championship game? And give me the daily looking at his salary, which is so low now compared to where it started in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, he definitely has. In a PPR league, I have him at 18 points this week. So I look for him to be an opportunity there, like you said, the 17 targets. Last year, the one thing that you look back at DeAndre Hopkins with all those quarterbacks is he was leading the league in targets all throughout the first half of the season. I look for that to continue tonight. They try to make a little run here and secure a playoff berth, and they got to get the ball to their best player. Lamar Miller looks like he won't play in that game tonight. No official word yet, but more and more indications that he won't play. It'll
even
be DeAndre
better.
Hopkins. Yeah. I mean, you got Alfred Blue back there, and whoever else, it's not going to matter. He's going to be the guy getting the ball.
Luke, how about for you? In the season-long league, after an entire year of disappointment of DeAndre Hopkins, Luke, do you think that you feel good enough about what you saw last week that you put him in there and you hope for the best? I mean, I know it's hard to say every week you had better options, or if you drafted Hopkins, that maybe you're even playing in a championship this week. But if you are and you're in that situation, would you put DeAndre Hopkins in your lineup and activate him?
Yeah, I would. I think you got to roll with him. It's definitely been a struggle if you've had him. I have not had him in either of my leagues, but I know people that have, and it's been frustrating, but I think you got to go with him. I mean, it's really encouraging, not with not even a full game of Tom Savage last week, that just the big uptick in targets, and just especially with Lamar Miller out, I just think that just by targets alone, especially if you're playing in a PPR, that he's going to get you at least like eight to ten catches, and he's going to be up there in the mid to high teens for points this week. I do have a good feeling about him.
Yeah, me too. Let's talk about another guy who was an incredible disappointment this year, Todd Gurley. Now, I've been saying no to Todd Gurley all year long, no matter what the salary was on DK or FanDuel or any other site. I've been saying no to him all year long and season long after the first couple weeks where I can't get past a certain point. It has to be about winning. Scott, he gets the 49ers today, an epically all-time bad run defense. Are you optimistic that this right now, week 16, championship week, you can get something out of Todd Gurley?
Yeah, I think so. The things that have held him down this year are lack of a supporting cast, bad game flow, bad blocking. None of that is going to matter today. The 49ers held them down in week one, but that's when they were playing up. Now they've given up. I was watching the 49ers last week on run defense. They were acting like they were playing. Like when the running backs were running by them, they were diving so that, you know, they wouldn't get cut outright to make it look like they were competing. This is a historically bad run defense, and Todd Gurley, for all the bad numbers you put up, is still supremely talented. Todd Gurley was angry last week at Seattle. You could see it on his face. This is a chance for him to prove that, you know, he's still an outstanding running back. This is a cake matchup for a still very talented running back. Anybody can take advantage of the 49ers. Anyone. I like Gurley this week as an RB2.
How about you, Mike? I mean, I know he's been a huge disappointment here, Todd Gurley, obviously. Do you think at this stage in the game that with all the disappointment, and we've seen matchups already this year which should have gone his way, are you buying everything that Scott's saying, or right now this is about hardware, this is about championships, and you're not going to give it to a guy who's disappointed you all year?
I'm going to start him, and the reason for that, yeah, he does have a good matchup, and he has disappointed in good matchups as of late, but the 49ers have given up 305 more rushing yards than any other team this year, and 5 more touchdowns than any other team. That's 5 more than the Browns defense. So I think you have to start Gurley this week.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you. I think you got to do it. I think you have to at this point. There's just too much data on the other side that says Todd Gurley can actually be useful today. We already talked about Blake Bortles and whether or not he can be useful or not. Now, let's put this one out there, because this is going to have some implications too. The Cowboys have said, we're not sitting anybody, blah, blah, blah. But if they get off to a lead, all right, if they should be, you know, winning this game handily by the third quarter, and Ezekiel Elliott, you know, I mean, there's no reason to have him in there at a certain point. As game flow goes, Tony, do you think that Ezekiel Elliott owners are going to be disappointed this week? And do you think that his stat line gets held back because of their playoff situation?
Actually be increased this week. They're going for a record. They want to bust the rookie rushing record. And
but
Jerry
they're
Jones
260 away, aren't they?
Yeah, two games. Jerry Jones.
Two very good games. Two very good games, in all fairness. Two very good games.
Jerry Jones likes the accolades. He's a very good running back. I think he's done over 130 a game pretty much throughout the season. So I think they go for a record. I wouldn't worry at all. In fact, I have him a top five back this week.
How about you, Luke? You think the same thing?
What's that? Sorry.
Do you think that over with Ezekiel Elliott, you think that they get held back at all, Ezekiel Elliott knows, because of the playoff situation, if they should be out there? You think they're going to go for this record?
I think it's possible that, like, the last quarter or so that they could ease up. Because remember, they are bringing Darren McFadden back, so they might want to get... I mean, he's come back in the last couple weeks. They might want to get him a couple reps before the playoffs come up. But I just don't think you can... Could you be a little disappointed? It's possible, but he's just too talented. It's too possible for him to break off a long 50-yard touchdown run in the first or second quarter. And even if that game does begin to get out of reach, I just think you can't turn away from a guy who's just that supremely talented with that offensive line. I do think he'll still have a pretty solid day.
By the way, Scott, guys, I got some breaking news. Mm-hmm. The Falcons cut J.D. McKissic. He was acquired by the Seahawks, and DraftKings is saying he will not acquire any, he will not accumulate any fantasy points today. So don't use J.D. McKissick.
Oh, okay. Everyone got that?
Yeah.
All right. Good.
It's like I'm adjusting a lineup during the break, and it's a big thing across the top of my screen on DraftKings. J.D. McKissick.
So now you had to go start over, right?
Yeah. So I was Scott, looking for like the $500 salary range.
Do you think it's stupid for them to go after this record with his Elliott? I mean, at a certain point, like, I mean, I'm all for him playing week 16, and I think he should at least play a half of 17, because with the bye that they're probably going to have, I don't like players getting too much rest. I don't like them being flat when they come out for a playoff game, especially running backs, quarterbacks. I want them to be in game flow. I want them to be ready when they come back. Fresh is one thing, flat is another. But at the same time, do you think pressing this rookie here for this record, this arbitrary, stupid thing at this point in the season, do you think that's wise, Scott?
Has Jerry Jones always been wise?
No.
I don't think so. But I think, you know, Jerry's the kind of guy where he's been vilified for so many personnel moves. He's never been a qualified general manager, really, that he can say, I drafted this guy. Look what he did.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is just the dumbest reason in the world. How about you, Mike? What do you think about Ezekiel Elliott? If you're an Ezekiel Elliott Dynasty League owner and you're, you know, you're looking for him in the future, are you concerned like they're just going to keep running him out there? Or do you like that? Is that actually the opposite? Do you like the fact that they're going to run him out there regardless and try to break records and do that? I imagine as a fantasy owner, that's probably better, right?
Yeah, I mean, it goes in both ways. I mean, obviously, from an owner, I don't want him to get hurt out there. However, I do like the fact that he's still going.
It's fantasy. Who gives a shit if he can't play next week?
unless you're a Championship 17, which is a stupid, stupid thing that people do.
Right?
But some people do that.
Throw him in there. Run him in the ground 50 times.
There you go. There you go. You have it there. We got a question here from KL Dog over on Twitter. I have a championship game, and I have Tyrod Taylor, or you could pick up Barkley or Simeon. Where do you go with this one? Tony, let's start with you.
Tyrod Taylor, to me, is always a little confusing, right? Because the offense is so crazy. So he's got Simeon and he's got Matt Barkley. I have Tyrod Taylor with, in today's game, getting 19 points and Matt Barkley getting 16 points. So Tyrod Taylor, and I hate using Tyrod Taylor, so good luck.
See, I feel like Barkley has some opportunity. He played... Look, I understand there's turnovers there last week. I watched the game. It was a great, fun football game to watch. But there were a lot of moments in that game where you saw Matt Barkley and you went, hey, maybe this guy should at least be fighting for this job next year coming into camp. And we're going to talk about that when we come back, some of those other quarterbacks that may or may not have jobs. But, Scott, how about for you, Tyrod Taylor or Matt Barkley?
I like Barkley today in daily. He's only 5,000 on DraftKings, and I'm rolling him out there. But... mobile quarterbacks have given the Dolphins a lot of problems, the Bills a lot of problems this year. So I think I'm going to stick with Tyrod Taylor.
You mean they've given the Dolphins a lot of problems?
The Dolphins, okay. I remember, yeah.
Well, I mean, sometimes the mobile quarterback gives the Bills a lot of problems, in all fairness. Sometimes
Matt Barkley threw two balls to, I don't even know who they were last week.
He did. He did, but he also made a couple throws there in that game, too. I mean, look, you got to take the
good with the bad. Three interceptions.
He did have three interceptions, but he also made a couple really good throws in some really big spots. And he had another drop, a couple big drops, too, where he put balls right where they should be, and guys just did not convert. I get what you're saying, and Taylor's probably the safer play, but I think Barkley might have the opportunity, and Washington is struggling right now. All right, we're going to hit a break.
Yeah,
when we come back, we're going to...
Barkley's 21.5 points on DraftKings last week.
Yeah, ain't bad. I'll take that. All right, we are going to hit a break. When we come back here on game day, we're going to talk about some quarterbacks that have starting jobs right now, but will they have starting jobs next year? You're listening to Game Day right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back, everyone, to Game Day. Great to hear from Dr. Dan. Merry Christmas. He got a Christmas vacation. Got the RV going there. He's having his full cousin Eddie on, it looks like, with that hat. Great job over there. Love that tweet. And if you want to hit us up on Twitter, at Joe Pisapia 17, at Scott E. Rotox, at the Tony Zincata, and at FNTSY Radio. Now, let's get to the phone lines here before we get to the quarterback discussion. We got our boy, is it Joel in Buffalo? Joel in Buffalo, our man. I hope it's not snowing in there today. I don't know what the situation is weather-wise. Joel, how are you?
I'm pretty good, guys. No snow right now.
There you go. Merry Christmas, baby. How you been?
Pretty good. I made it to the Super Bowl. A lot of good questions by you guys.
So I want to say thank you. See that? Yeah. Making dreams come true. See, I want all the listeners to realize, you see these people keep calling every week, especially through the playoffs. You see how they're in the playoffs and they're still playing every week? That's not an accident, baby. That's not an accident.
So let me just state real quick.
All right.
Before the king says something to me. I never look at my opponent's lineups, but time I need to.
In the playoffs, I do waiver wise to block them.
Okay. So I'm going up against Breeze, Brown, and Bell.
Yikes!
So
it's nice
I need to put.
Joel, it's been a great season. I've really enjoyed talking to you. I hope you call back next week regardless. All right, so what's the question, baby? What do you got?
So the king and the guys answered some questions for me yesterday, so I'm solid there. So I'm looking at my quarterback right now, and I think I need high upside. I've been rolling with Wilson all year long. I'm thinking about starting Barkley.
All right, here's two things I'll say. Number one, you play your best no matter who your opponent has. I look at the lineups for waivers. I don't make my lineup decisions based on who somebody else has. That said, there's two schools of thought on Wilson here that I've had. And you can read my preview on Seahawks.com this morning. This is a very tough defensive line, and I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. But there are injuries in the Arizona secondary. They've lost the Honey Badger. They've lost Tyvon Branch. And Wilson's some of the best performances have come at home this year. I'm not in love with Wilson today. He's not in my top 12. But I can't roll Matt Barkley out there in my fantasy Super Bowl over Russell Wilson. I can't do it because Matt Barkley is more likely to have a no-touchdown, four-interception game than Wilson does, even though he had five interceptions at Green Bay. I like the matchup, but I just can't bring myself to do it.
Well, Mike Jr., what do you think? You like Wilson today over Barkley? You stick with the guys that got you there?
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that strategy just because Scott's right. Barkley could go out there and throw four picks, no touchdowns. But
right.
Wilson, you know he'll have somewhat of a consistency.
How about you, Luke? I mean, Wilson's put up some bad games, but you think this is overthinking it a little?
Yeah, just Wilson's too talented as opposed to Barkley. I actually do like Barkley this week. Washington has given up 20 points in four of the last five to opposing quarterbacks. But I just think you're going to be kicking yourself if you look back on it and you see that you played Wilson over Barkley if you played Barkley over Wilson and that ended up costing you. Barkley's had some nice games, but he's also gone out there and had games where he's thrown no touchdowns and had a couple interceptions. So I just I like what he's shown somewhat, but the consistency is not there yet for Matt Barkley, I don't think.
Tony, for me, I always say the same thing. I can live with myself if I put Wilson out there and Barkley has a good game, and I go, well, at least I've had my best guy in there, theoretically. But if I flip-flop it and Barkley plays poorly and Wilson does great on my bench, I mean, look, that Arizona lineup gave up 40-plus points to Drew Brees last week. Where do you go with this one, Tony?
Yeah, this is Russell Wilson easy. I got him 4 points higher than Barkley. And everybody keeps talking about the upside. The only upside is that he's thrown the ball 50 times in some games. The bottom line is he has 6 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He's the third quarterback on a terrible team, and he doesn't even complete 60% of his passes. It's just not there.
There you go, Joel. All right, listen, good luck to you. I'm hoping
I got one more.
Oh, you got one? Sure, yeah. Shoot it in there. Go ahead.
One more. Okay, this is my other league, flex position. I need one. Baldwin, Inman, Barrow, Matthews, Jeffrey. Oh, Hill also.
And you only got one of those guys to choose from?
Yep, just one.
I love Rishard Matthews most of the time. I think he's the best of this group personally. How about you, Tony? What do you think?
I think in this one, I like Baldwin going over that list. One other thing on that Matt Barkley situation, I think it's a really good game for Jordan Howard today.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. All in on Howard. I got Howard in a lot of DFS shares this week. How about you, Scott, of this group, Baldwin, Inman, Farrell, Rashard Matthews, and Jeffrey? I'm assuming this is PPR, right, Joel?
Yes.
I do like Baldwin, but Inman against the Browns, a lot of upside there. I think more upside
than Baldwin. I'm worried
about
the number of throws on San Diego. They usually throw the ball a ton, Scotty, but against Cleveland, you think that Philip Rivers will still have to throw it a ton?
I don't think Wilson will be throwing a ton either. Although I like Baldwin in the slot, the matchup is good. Even if he doesn't throw a ton, I still think Inman scores. I think it's more about efficiency than volume today.
You know what? I mean, you just got three different answers here from us. So, Joel, look, at this point, you know, take all this information, make what you think is the best choice, and go for the guy that you think is going to win you a championship. I mean, go look back at the numbers, look for consistency, look at performance, look at production. Don't worry too much more about the matchup. Get the best guy in there right now as best as you can, because all these guys are kind of in that same vein. I think Matthews is I know it's, you know, Jacksonville plays a little bit better on D than people give him credit for, but that's where I'd go. Thanks so much, Joel. All right, we're hour one in the books. Hour two ahead of us. We're going to preview all the games, plus a little quarterback chat where some guys playing right now will or will not be playing next year. You're listening to Game Day. We'll be right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this.